This is Jay Sekulow breaking news. The Internal Revenue Service, the IRS, says a warning to every American.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Sekulow. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jay Sekulow.
Hey everybody, welcome to the broadcast, and we're talking about a warning that the Internal Revenue Service is sending out to all of us, and that is, get your tax returns in time because they are running way behind. Now, I am not kidding you, but go ahead.
They're saying not in time. They're saying get them in early. For the first, they're saying, nope, not by April 18th.
No, right.
They're saying if you can file it in 2 weeks when the window opens up, please do, because they are millions behind.
There are only 6 million of unprocessed individual returns from last year, and 2 million unprocessed amended tax returns from last year as well. Now, if you'll remember this, I said when we challenged the IRS in those targeting cases, which, by the way, that they can do it apparently, because they had the targeting case just a couple of months back that was resolved. We talked about that. We had a congressional hearing on it. So they can still target individuals that they want to target. They just can't process tax returns. Now, the truth of the matter is their systems are antiquated, but they don't seem to be getting money for that. What they seem to be getting most of their money for is enforcement, so they can go follow your $600 transactions and try to collect tax on that, which you're probably reporting anyways if it was actually income rather than you helping your students, your kids with some expenses, which would be a gift and not taxable. So why is the IRS already setting the bar like this? You got to ask yourself this. Well, as I said, 6 million unprocessed returns from last year, 2 million unprocessed amended tax returns from last year. Joe Biden is going to Georgia today to give a speech about election reform, but in those bills, there is money to get rid of the Lerner Rule, which we actually won in federal court. What did the Lerner Rule say? You can't target organizations or individual based on their ideology, their statements, whether they have a biblical worldview, whether they are conservative, for that matter, whether they're liberal, whatever it is, you cannot use that as a basis of discrimination. But Andy, they're trying to undo it in the legislation, undo a court order through legislation.
That's exactly right. First of all, they come into court, in federal court in Washington, D.C. They admit, and in fact, Jay, if you recall, they apologize for having targeted conservative groups, for having targeted groups that are pro-American, that have pro-American names. And they enter into a consent order signed by Judge Walton, says, we're never going to do this again. We're sorry we did it. We're going to fairly apply the tax laws. We're not going to target. Now, they've recanted on that, and they decided, well, I don't like that idea. I think we want to go back to being an attack and spying organization. We're not going to process tax returns. That's our primary job. We're not here to collect taxes. We're here to spy and snoop on you, and we're going to do it by legislation and undo what we in good faith told a U.S. district judge that we were never going to do again. That's your Internal Revenue Service at work.
Yeah, and they signed the order, actually, agreeing to that.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are a lot of people who are commenting right now saying they still haven't gotten their refund last year. So a lot of our listeners are part of those
raising
millions.
Raising my hand too.
Yeah, a lot of them. I mean, I know a lot of people who work here have a lot of issues with the IRS in general. Not issues. That sounds bad. That sounds like they have issues with the IRS. They have issues with the corporate structure of the IRS.
The lack of the ability of the Internal Revenue Service to do the fundamental job they're tasked,
right,
which was is processing tax returns. Instead, they're worrying about finding out if someone's using the Bible as a basis of their nonprofit organization.
A lot of that stuff didn't go away during the last year.
Oh, no, that they could do.
That
they did
you could
it.
Do. You could target people based on their religious beliefs or based on their political affiliations, but you
they have the money for that.
But you don't have the money to actually do just a very basic function of your job, which is what every American has to do, which was file an insane tax return that most people don't understand.
Logan, if you're watching, is wearing a red and black University of Georgia.
Yes, I mean, for the first time, or yesterday too, I've worn it every day for the last
the
couple
first
weeks,
time in your
getting
lifetime.
A little dirty now, but you know, for the first time in my lifetime, the Georgia Bulldogs are national champions, taking down Alabama, finally. After seven, whatever it was, times they've played against each other recently, it finally happened. It was a great day.
And your grandfather, Pete Paul Malvern, is very excited in heaven about this because he was there.
Jordan was at the game. We were there the last time.
We will say that Van Bennett, quickly here, you were pulling for Alabama.
Greatest of all time, Nick Saban. Congratulations, Logan. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Secular. We will be taking your calls and your feelings on this IRS warning that came out this morning. You may have seen it across all news. That's why I was texting with the group this morning and said, I think we need to talk about this, because the IRS not only, we know, asking for more money, but came out with a warning today saying, hey, everybody, just so you know, we need you to file early or start to file, and don't be alarmed when you're a year, 2 years down the road and you still haven't received any sort of correspondence from us. And we're seeing that in the comments by the thousands of people who are saying that they are not receiving their correspondence. And we know that this is something now they're formally saying. They're saying not only because of the pandemic, because they're understaffed, because they're backlogged, that this has had a significant delay. I mean, obviously we see these delays across the country, across the world on these type of things. But this is the general, the small part of the job, really, if you want to be. Like, not a small part, it's a major thing.
It's what they're supposed to actually do.
It's the standard portion of the IRS.
That's where they're failing. So what's so fascinating about this, if you want to talk to us about this, 800-684-3110, that's 1-800-684-3110. So the IRS has 6 million unprocessed individual returns right now, as I'm one of those 6 million. And as the start of this month, it has more than 2 million unprocessed amended tax returns. By the way, there are other people in our office that are in exactly the same boat. So this is happening to a lot of people where returns were filed and they're not being responded to. The IRS has said that they closed the filing season with 35 million unprocessed returns, a fourfold increase from the previous year, which was the first year of the major COVID outbreak. They're now saying that they have a backlog, that they cannot respond to the increase of calls for assistance. Only 9% of the calls were answered. Only 3% were answered for the 1040 support line. The tax deadline for 2021 is now April 18th, and like I said, Treasury officials last year extended it. They're not going to do that this year, which would make more sense maybe if they spaced it out. They wouldn't have this glut coming in at in a two-week period. But here's the problem. This is an institution, I've said it before, I'm going to say it again, is institutionally incapable of fixing this stuff, Harry. I mean, you worked for them. I worked for them. It was archaic when we were there in the dark ages, and now here we are.
Absolutely. So I don't think the IRS has learned the lesson of history. So if you look at enforcement, if you look at interference, intimidation, espionage, and if you multiply that by incompetence, that is an apt description of the IRS in the 21st century. They resist change. But then now they want to expand their remit from the American people by being able to target conservatives and other individuals tied to a so-called bogus Democratic voting rights bill. Given the fact that the Democrats, for instance, have majored in voter suppression and mayhem, that basically transformed U.S. history for 50 to 70 years, I think it's very, very imperative for the American people to get engaged, to oppose this initiative that Joe Biden is going to advance in Georgia today, and also to oppose the incompetence of the IRS all the way down.
Wes, you know, in the Army, you served as an operational coordinator for major projects, including handling our killed in action.
Right.
Here you have a systematic failure. I mean, that's what you have here, a systematic failure. What should be the response? I've always said that, and I really believe this, I don't think they're capable of self-correcting.
No, they're not, and they're not capable of reform, self-correction. They are inept. What really needs to happen, but I think the lobbyists for the CPAs and the tax lawyers will not let it happen, the system needs to be simplified, and really we don't need an IRS like we have it today. We don't need this huge bureaucracy. It is one of the largest federal bureaucracies and yet is one of the most least supervised, the least accountable. Yeah. And we've gone to court because of that. Do you trust your federal government to do what the IRS is supposed to be doing? I think most people do not. In the Bible, the most unpopular characters in all of the Bible were tax collectors. Well, when you look at what's going on with the IRS today, you understand why tax collectors were so unpopular, and yet they were probably a lot more efficient, and the system was a lot more simple back then than it is now. And by the way, Jay, I'm one of those 35 million people who filed last year, and I have heard crickets from the IRS. It has not been processed. Nothing. Yeah, nothing.
Same thing. Yeah, I mean, this is, I mean, folks, for people that depend on these, first of all, it's your money. I mean, all you did was an overpayment.
Right. I think a lot of people know that, and a lot of people are just waiting, and it is kind of sad. We got a lot of calls coming in, too. A lot of people are really frustrated with this. If you want to give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. For those who are watching online, share this with your friends. I think a lot of people saw the headline we shared on social media saying, what is the big warning? Well, that warning, just to clarify, is that they're asking everyone, they're warning you, hey, to let you know, you need to get your tax returns in
early,
your tax returns very quickly and early. Talking about in the next few weeks, they're even saying, as soon as they open up, because if not, don't expect a response anytime soon. And with April 18th being the deadline this year, they're saying people who maybe file in April, late April or April 18th, who knows when you may ever get correspondence because they are millions behind.
Okay, I get two things I want to say, and then we'll take a call. I want to go first to Than. You know, we've been fighting some of these draconian measures that the IRS is talking about imposing. What's the status of everything right now, legislatively?
Yeah, legislatively, Jay, there's still a couple of efforts. You outlined a couple of them in the beginning of the broadcast. They're trying to give $80 billion to the IRS in Build Back Better. They're also trying, like you said, to bring back the Lois Lerner rule, which would outright allow the targeting of conservatives and others that the IRS are against. Look, I kind of boil it down to these two things, Jay. I mean, if I had my policy prescription druthers, I would actually like to see the IRS clout and responsibility to be drawn way down. I just think they've shown that they are incapable of handling this responsibility. We should simplify the tax code and take some of the responsibility away. But Jay, when you go to Washington, D.C., when you go to Capitol Hill, in the meantime, while they have this authority, let me tell you what would enable them to upgrade their systems. They could actually probably get more money out of this Congress if they weren't using the money that they were already being given to conduct that targeting, Jay. I mean, when they come to Congress right now and they ask for $80 billion, you know what Republicans and Democrats, some Democrats, say in response? Why did you use the last tens of millions of dollars that we gave you to target American citizens? Why don't you use that to do your job? And when you do that, come back and ask for more and maybe we can talk. Jay, that's just not the priority for the IRS at this point.
You know, Andy, also, they started the targeting. We had the court order in place. Joe Biden becomes president and they have no money to process our returns, but they had money to go after a taxpayer in Texas, a nonprofit that had the Bible as the basis of their worldview, and they questioned that with that ridiculous lexicon of initials and R equal a Democrat, a Republican equal D, and W was the word of God. I mean, it was obnoxious, but they had plenty of time to process that.
Well, of course, that's the belief that he got into office with, the unending and ever-growing federal power grab, the idea that they want to make federalization of elections, the idea that they want to make laws that apply to elections out of the central government in Washington, D.C., which, as we know, is an unconstitutional attempt to thwart the constitutional mandate that the states are the ones that make the decisions with respect to the time, place, manner, and method of elections. So this is what it is, really. It's an unprincipled power grab on the part of the Democrats so that they can continue to win elections. And so they disregard court orders that they sign and agree to. They bring lawsuits against people that are contrary to the Lerner rule that they agreed to, that they signed on to, that a federal judge entered into with their consent, and they decide we're going to disregard all that now. And under the guise of cleaning up elections and letting everyone in the world vote whether they're qualified to do so or not, and whether they're citizens or not, whether they have IDs or not, we're going to put it under a federal mandate and, you know, be done with the Constitution, and it can go to the four winds. Who cares?
Well, you know, this is exactly why we went to federal court. So we went to federal court on this and won, and the IRS entered in a consent decree to stop all of this. But instead, what do? They double down. While they send out a warning, American citizens file early before April 18th because we can't process these returns. We can't respond to your inquiries. We can't give you information. So all of that goes in place. And at the same time, they're saying, well, we're doing the best we can. The truth is the best they can is not good enough. Now you got President Biden going down to Georgia where he's going to be talking about election reform. But the reality of that election reform is tucked away, of course, information about, guess what? The Internal Revenue Service. And money for the IRS, not to get all their systems current, not to get customer service, but to get more agents out in the field. This is the problem. This is where you have this kind of missed opportunity. And the end result of that missed opportunity is the American people pay the consequence. We've got a bank full of phone calls. We're going to get to those. We got a lot to talk about. We've got a lawsuit we filed that we're going to talk about at the end of the broadcast, a brief we filed on the Georgia election issue. 1-800-684-3110. Stacey Abrams is not appearing with Joe Biden. At least that's the latest, right, Logan?
Yeah, a lot of people are citing that and going through that. Even on, like I said, the mainstream news, they were talking about that this morning. So it should be interesting to see how that all plays out. Our phone lines are completely jammed right now. Hey, actually, I was wrong. One line just opened up. So give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Those who are on hold, we are going to get to you in the next segments. So stay on hold. 1-800-684-3110. Share this with your friends. Check out all the great content and the great work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110, but I'm going to go right to them in a moment. The president is going down to Georgia this afternoon. Andy's actually in Georgia right now at our office there. But what's so interesting to me is the president's staff are saying, we're doubling down, kicking it into another gear. We're going right to the belly of the beast, ground zero, for voter suppression, voter subversion, and obstruction. What's so fascinating about this is that when you look at what is at issue in Georgia electorally, with the litigation that we're involved in, we're representing all the Republicans in Georgia in the House. In a complaint that was filed by the Justice Department, they said that they want they're challenging things like third parties grabbing ballots. We don't think that's right. If you want to mail in ballot, you mail in the ballot. If you want to drop it in a Dropbox, it's a monitored Dropbox. They don't want it to be monitored. They don't. They want other people to be able to get these ballots and basically harvest them. There's no concept. This is an activity that goes with the state, and they have the right to do it. And Andy, just quickly here, we talked earlier about those. I mean, months ago, about these ballot boxes next to the newspaper stands with no one watching them. And this is what the Department of Justice is spending its resources on.
That's exactly right, Jay. There were ballot boxes along Ponce de Leon Avenue in Atlanta next to old newspaper stands where you put a quarter in and get a newspaper out, and you just dropped it in. There was no one monitoring, no one watching it. But this, again, is a federal power grab to try to inject the federal government into what is constitutionally a state matter. And I resent the use of the word the belly of the beast in Georgia, because we have a Democrat United States senator, another Democrat United States senator who's African-American. Many of the members of the Georgia legislative delegation to the House of Representatives are African-American. The mayor of Atlanta is African-American. So to say that this is the beast down here, that we are the beastly racist state, which is what this lawsuit said that was filed in federal court, that we filed a brief in, is a false statement and a mischaracterization of the state of Georgia, which I personally deeply resent.
All right, we're going to go ahead and take some phone calls because our phone lines are jammed. Let's go to Tim, who's calling in California on line one. Tim, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I think it's past time that we take the IRS and totally reconstruct it, because we can't control it. And the next question I have is, what do we have to do to get the IRS to do its job they're supposed to do?
Well, I mean, part of that's leadership, and it's focus, and it's focusing on what they're supposed to be doing. And you said something that's interesting. We need to restructure the IRS. Harry, we've been saying that for a long time here. We've said that it's institutionally incapable of self-correcting. And apparently, I mean, they're now admitting it.
I think that is precisely correct. And so one initiative that I think would help is to literally move the IRS and all of its offices out of Washington, D.C., and move it to, let's say, Kansas or some other place where common folk live who basically have common sense. The IRS has become a politicized institution, and it is one of the most politicized, least trustworthy institutions in the federal government, and it now admits its relentless incompetence. And it doesn't seem to change, irrespective of whether the president is Republican or Democrat. And so we really need to restructure the organization and make sure each and every employee is held accountable so that there is no repetition of Lois Lerner. And number two, so that the American people can get their tax returns processed on time.
But, you know, Harry, but they did return to Lois Lerner. That's part of the problem with this. They immediately, and this is what I'm trying to wrap my head around. They immediately fell back into this, they put this stuff in writing. Immediately, as soon as it was over, you got a court order, a consent decree, damages paid, and they immediately go right back into, it's like they repeat, Wes, their bad behavior. It's like they were waiting for their moment to be able to do it again.
Absolutely. When the leadership changed, they went right back to their old habits and their old ways of doing things that are unethical and illegal too. Which is worse, to have a bureaucracy of the government that is so huge and powerful, or one that is inept. What you have in the IRS is both. You have an organization that is completely inept. They cannot do their job, and yet at the same time, they are huge, powerful, with little supervision.
No, it's absolutely correct. All right, let's go. We're taking more calls, 800-684-3110. This is good. We're able to help some people here, and that would be good, too.
Yeah, let's go to Brinson, who's calling on line three. Brinson, you're on the air.
Hi, Brinson.
Oh, thank you for taking my phone call, and God bless you guys for what you do. Hey, how are the folks that are waiting on a tax return yet to be processed, are they going to file their taxes this year? Because that is part of the tax return process.
Yeah, no, look, I mean, you know, Brinson, you raise a really important issue. So they got all these, we're getting calls from people. We have people on our set that have not had their returns processed from last year, where there were questions and they answered and they don't even respond, acknowledge the answer. And now you're saying, well, respond early, and we're going to get it resolved. Now, there is a taxpayer inspector general fan that operates within the IRS. Now, I don't know what their position is on all this, and I don't know if there's any legislative help on this, but when you look at what the IRS is talking about requesting their $80 billion increase in revenue, this is not to correct that problem for the most part, correct? I mean, it's for new initiatives.
It's not. I mean, you're talking about an $80 billion request. More than half of it, Jay, about $45 billion, is simply for enforcement. And by the way, we haven't even talked about the money that they're requesting for the Department of Justice, additional money for the Department of Justice to partner with the IRS to prosecute. And look, I'm sure buried in these budget requests is some money for improving systems. But Jay, look, until they can show that they're not targeting, literally every penny that they get should go to the core task of getting their job done and getting people up to speed. The caller is exactly right. You're going to have taxpayers in an impossible situation. They're not going to be able to comply this year because they don't have their returns back. But Jay, let me just tell you very succinctly this. The reason they are institutionally incapable of correction is because this is the most powerful tool that the federal bureaucracy has to assert control over the American people's lives. It's not an accident, Jay. They don't want to give it up because it's such a powerful tool.
You're absolutely correct. And if you take it a step further, and I will, they had enough power and authority to not process your return, Wes, mine either, others.
Right.
But they had enough to get a revenue agent, an IRS agent in Texas, I believe, to write a letter to a nonprofit organization and say, we don't like the language you're using about the Bible is the word of God, and you have principles that align, you're pro-Israel, which aligns with the D Party, which equaled Republican. And they put this in writing. They put this in writing. That they have money for. That they have the ability. That's why you got to go to court. And that's why you fight out. That's why we had two congressional hearings on this. You fight back. We don't just take this from them. And can I take it up one more notch here without talking too fast, Logan? Because you're warning me I'm talking too fast. I get animated on this. Yeah. I have been saying this for a decade. For a decade, I have been saying they're institutionally incapable of self-correcting. And now we're all getting warning letters saying, hey, we can't process your stuff. But we sure can want to. But they want to spend money to follow a $600 transaction. That they want to do. They just can't process your return. All right, we're going to be here for another 30 minutes. We got a lot of calls. We'll take more calls. We'll get more information.
Yeah, we just had a comment from Murray on Facebook. Said, don't forget also to declare your stolen goods in this year. You stole them unless you're going to return them. If you're going to return them or your bribes, make sure you get that handled before filing those taxes early. We do have a second half hour coming up on Seculo. If you don't get us live, find us live, broadcasting live right now on Facebook, on YouTube, and at ACLJ.org. We'll be right back with more on Seculo.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Jay Sekulo.
I feel like we're handling the IRS hotline here of questions that are coming in because the IRS is sending out notices. Logan's going to give you the details of it. This is what they're telling everybody in the United States. All taxpayers, prepare yourself for this one, folks. The IRS is letting you know they can't do their job.
Yeah, I mean, this is coming out this morning. The New York Times, even. I mean, you're not talking about just this is coming from some conservative press and you're thinking this is conservative talk. The headline from the New York Times is the IRS warns of messy tax filing season. Washington Post has the IRS tax refunds could be delayed. Treasury warns. IRS offers warning ahead of possible frustrating tax season. That's from the Today Show. So you're talking about from all mainstream publicity or press. You're talking about from all mainstream outlets saying there is going to be a major frustrating tax season. And what they're telling you to do is to make sure you file as early as possible. So that's the warning coming out. Not only to file as early as possible, but also be prepared to not get much correspondence, if at all. And I would assume for a lot of people don't expect a refund when you said they are millions behind. And that is, eventually they'll get there, presumably. Who knows? Or did you just write it? I mean, and there are questions about that then. How
people are saying,
should you change our withholding? Should you change?
Yeah, people are asking, should we change our withholding? Or, you know, we do this as like a forced savings. Some people do that. That's not generally a good idea.
No.
But I will tell you this, that we have a case right now that we're representing an organization in the southwestern portion of the United States. And there was a series of questions that the Internal Revenue Service had. We responded. And you know what we've heard so far? Crickets. Nothing. This has been months. Months. Barely. I don't even know if we got an acknowledgement of our response. But this tells you that what we're dealing with right now is so difficult, and it's hard on people.
Oh, I had an issue just a few months ago just trying to get an EIN, an employee identification number,
which is normally
for an LLC. You usually get it in 3 seconds, and there was some problem. I called them, and they're like, you have to fax us.
Fax?
I had a fax, and wait 90 days, and maybe I would hear back. I dissolved the business and restarted the LLC because it was such a hassle. Because it was like this name was like one letter too close to another. It was so complicated. They said, yeah, you can't get your bank account now for 90 days, and we're not going to give you an EIN.
But,
and it's just a mess.
But this really does hurt small business. It's a perfect example. Yeah. This really does hurt hairy small businesses. I mean, it has a real impact.
I think it does. And I also think it hurts the overall economy, it hurts the level of employment in the nation. And it hurts the future of the nation. But I also think that the bureaucrats, they are blind to the consequences of their misconduct and their incompetence. And so one of the things that I think we probably need is a more effective and efficient way of firing either the incompetent individuals in the IRS or those that are highly politicized. And so one of the big questions is, where are the consequences? So, yes, we have incompetence, and it's on full display, but are these individuals able to keep their jobs? Based on my limited experience working for the IRS, the answer is yes.
Yeah, we've got a great call. I can't take it now because we're about to go to break, but I want to tell Barb on line 6, who's a CPA, hang on the line. She'll be the first call we do when we come back from the break. This is a really great call. And we're also taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Now, at the same time, President Biden is today in Georgia where he is basically, and his people are announcing this. I mean, they're the ones releasing this information. And we're going to get more information this on the last broadcast and the last segment of the broadcast. But they are saying that this is they're calling it Georgia the belly of the beast for the election. They're also saying that they filed a lawsuit against the state of Georgia. We responded, by the way, where they're saying Georgia is trying to suppress the vote when all they're wanting is some basic voter integrity. Like, should you have to show a driver's license before you vote or some form of ID? I mean, these are the things you're objecting to. So we're going to get into all that when we come back from the break. And, Logan, we're going to take a lot of phone calls, too.
That's right. We'd love to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We have a few lines open right now. We'll do our best to get to you if you have questions related to this warning, to the IRS in general. If you have general comments, statements, we'll be happy to listen to as many as we can again on the air at 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah, let me also say thank you again for your continued support for the work of the ACLJ. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. And don't forget, if you want to talk to us on air, great time to do it. 1-800-684-3110. I'm looking. We actually have a line open. 800-684-3110.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Taking your calls 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to it. Let's go to Barb, who's calling on line 6 in Maryland. You're on the air.
Hey, Barb.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Can you hear me okay?
We can.
Okay. I just want to also say I appreciate all that the ACLJ does.
Thank you.
I just send you money as often as I
appreciate that.
Can. To get right to the point, I'm a CPA licensed in Maryland, and you know, I'm listening to you expound on your outrage over the incompetence of the IRS. Well, that's not the half of it, because as a CPA, we consider ourselves unpaid employees of the IRS because we've been called upon to do things like be the gatekeepers for the individual mandate for Obamacare,
right.
The Affordable Care Act. I could go on and on all the things that they ask us to do, which we really consider to be not our job, but their job. But I guess they're spending their time and their resources going after the conservatives, which
they seem to have no problem. Barb, they seem to have no problem with that. I mean, they seem to be able to find the money to have revenue agents send out ridiculous letters to conservative organizations. But what I was going to ask you this, I'm sure you've got a lot of clients that are in that same 6 million or 8 million people that haven't had the returns process. What are you telling them?
Well, there's really not a lot we can do other than to continue to call. We do have a practitioner hotline that I think does tend to get us through more easily and to actually get a person on the other end of the line. And we just we try to be as persistent as possible, either through snail mail correspondence or calling them, because they won't respond to email. They don't use email at all. Anything that you want to transfer back and forth, you have to transfer back and forth. You have to either use snail mail or fax.
Similes. Yes, there, I mean, Logan said that you had to do fax. And Barb, we appreciate you calling in. That one good piece of advice there, I mean, many good pieces of advice, but one that Barb said is, if you have a tax professional and you're having an issue, call your tax professional, because they do have a hotline. Problem is, and we're seeing this in cases, and Andy, we're seeing this in a case right now, you can't get them to respond. It's exactly what Barb said. They're not responding.
No, they're just not answering. They have bigger fish to fry. They're more interested in targeting conservative groups and in seeing whether you spend $600, how you spend that $600, whether you use these personal apps for paying your bills, and snooping around and being spies rather than doing the job of serving the public. And that is, as you said earlier on in the program, Jay, getting your money back to you. That's what a refund is, money that you have overpaid in your tax return, and you're seeking a refund of your money. And it's the Internal Revenue Service's job to see that that money is repatriated to you, the taxpayer. They don't have time to do that, but they have time to enter into all these other things.
Yep.
All right, let's continue on. Judy's caller from Alabama on line four. You're on the air.
Hey, Judy.
Hi. Thank you guys for all you're doing to intercede for the people versus the government. I have two things quickly. First, a big shout out, Roll Tide, because I'm from Alabama. Look, excellent game last night.
No, we're not dropping the call. And I got to say, it was a great game, and you got a great coach and a great team. It was just Georgia's time, but yes.
So, yeah, I am saying congratulations to the Bulldogs. They played an excellent game.
Thank you. I will take all the credit.
Okay.
I have a question about the IRS. Now, they can't get anything right because they're too busy going after people.
Right.
I honestly believe that the reason they came up and started this thing about the $600, they've been trying all the time that Trump was in office to get into his legal business financially. I think they came up with this to try to get into it legally.
Yeah, well, they get into everybody.
Right on him, no excuse. And then they just decided, well, okay, let's just do everybody.
Well, this is the problem. You hit a good point, and that is, Than, this puts the IRS, the $600, if it goes through, into everybody's business.
That's a great point from Judy. Yeah, Jay, we actually did the math on this when this proposal first came out. And when if you're going to hire more than 80,000 agents and you're going to give them this $80 billion budget, it works out to more than $500,000 a year, Jay, for each agent. So how many audits that wouldn't have happened before are going to happen now of everyday Americans? I mean, Logan talked about how, you know, it's how complicated it is for a regular taxpayer to comply with the law as it is now. That's going to look easy compared to millions of Americans that shouldn't be audited getting audited under this new procedure. And I couldn't agree with Judy more. I really do think that the primary policy goal behind it is not finding tax cheats, Jay. It's getting access to the personal information of American people so that policy agendas, Jay, can be pushed.
I think this is precisely the problem. The question is, Wes, how do you fix it?
Yeah, how do you fix it? It takes leadership to fix it. I mean, starting, you know, with our government in Washington, D.C. and all the way down, you know, over the decades, the IRS bureaucracy has become more and more complicated. It's like it's complicated by design. It's also unaccountable by design, it seems. I'm not a tax kind of guy, but it seems like we could actually have more tax revenue if we would simplify the system and get rid of this huge bureaucracy, pare it down, and make it more efficient. But who's going to do that? Sometimes I think our political leaders are actually afraid of the IRS.
Well, here's the interesting thing, Harry. You know, when we talk about the Internal Revenue Code, its technical title is the Internal IRC 1954. It's the Internal Revenue Code of 1954. Okay, that I was born in 1956. That is older than me. And this is the problem. Breaking news alert. The world and the economy is different than it was in 1954. So they've amended it 9 billion times, half of which doesn't make any sense.
I think that is correct. And I think the IRS basically lacks real in-depth leadership. But one initiative that I would like to see in a new amended IRC code is the institution of criminal penalties for misconduct by agents, because right now they don't really have an incentive, I think, to comply with the law. Now, I know that will be difficult to get through Congress, but unless criminal penalties are imposed for misconduct, I think this process could continue.
Yeah, we actually have a phone call coming up. Let's go to Melissa, who's calling on line three in Florida. Melissa, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Melissa.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Yep.
My concern is that with a lot of things that are going on, my tax person can't even get in contact with the IRS.
Right.
Like, her system for this coming year, I sent her my documentation, and she's saying that the systems they utilize, she can't even log in. She can't get them to work. And she's trying to get tech support through IRS and nothing.
Yeah, no, this is your tax. This is reality. And the reality problem is people aren't getting answers. I'll tell you what's going to happen. Logan, they sent out that warning to everybody let me tell you what to expect for 2022. A disaster worse than 2021.
Yeah, because they didn't warn it last time. You know, this time that there's something coming.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Andy, it goes back to we've taken them to court. There's all this talk about them reforming, but it doesn't happen. I mean, it is a bureaucracy that is out of control.
Well, it is, and I think Professor Hutchison's idea is the right one, and that is get it out of Washington, D.C. Put it in Topeka, Kansas. Let the people with sense in the country run it and not the Beltway crowd. Get some IRS agents who have some empathy with people who are looking for refunds. Try to do the things in a practical fashion. Get rid of the typewriters that you're still using at the IRS.
IBM.
Stop using fax machines, for heaven's sake. Come into the 21st century and stop targeting people for their political 21st century and stop targeting people for their political views and start processing refunds. In other words, do the job that you're supposed to do as the IRS.
Yep. All right. Let's take another call.
Yep. Jeff's calling online too. Jeff, welcome.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. My question is, with the IRS sending out these notices, could they use it almost as a ploy to point back in the notices and say, we don't have the resources to process all these claims, so we need the resources and use it as a ploy?
But, Than, here's the point on that, and that's a good question, Jeff. But where the bulk of the money is going is not to processing. It's going to agents for compliance on additional tax matters. It's not, a bulk of this is not going to get the systems up to date or to get the taxpayer hotlines handled.
Yeah, they're using that excuse as we speak, Jay, but of that $80 billion in Build Back Better, literally 45 of it is earmarked for enforcement. Now, I looked through the other accounts. Very, very little of this is used for modernization. And I said this earlier in the broadcast. Congress is going to say, well, then why did you use all those resources for targeting? Jay, if they were focusing the resources they had on the right thing and they came back and said, look, we're still not getting there. We have a shortfall. Guess what I bet they would get from Congress? More money. But until they're using it for the right thing, they shouldn't get another dime.
And speaking of Congress, we do have our next segment. Congressman Rick Allen will be on the next segment from Georgia. So we'll talk to him coming up in the next segment. So stay tuned. We do have one more segment, and we'll try to get some calls as well. 1-800-684-3110. Check out the great work of the ACLJ. All of our great content. You know, this is, you just watch the 1 hour a day. It's a small sliver of the incredible content that's available on all of our social media platforms. Make sure you're following, liking, subscribing, but also directly at ACLJ.org. Again, it's at ACLJ.org. Obviously, you can make a donation. We appreciate that. But check out all the great free resources there and great content. We'll be right back with more on Secula.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
I woke up this morning, I had them states were blue.
Everyone, by the way, I should say this. I'm assuming, Congressman Allen, you're pleased with the results of the game last night, being from Georgia.
It's ecstatic.
Yeah, we are too. I lived in Atlanta for a long time, and went to law school in Macon at Mercer. So, and that was, of course, the Allman Brothers tune, Statesboro Blues. I think Statesboro's in your zone. Your district. Welcome to the broadcast, Congressman. I wanted to get right to this because you got President Biden coming down to Georgia. His team is saying Georgia's the belly of the beast on election irregularities and election reform needs. You've taken the lead on a brief that we filed with the U.S. District Court in Georgia on the Georgia law. Will you tell the folks that are listening to this broadcast what the law is designed to do?
Well, here's the deal. The Biden administration Democrats continue attacking Georgia's election law because they want to federalize elections. They want Georgia's laws to look like California and New York. Their claim that Georgia's bill will suppress voters is basically, and let me give an example. We had a municipal election in the city of Atlanta in November under the new law, and turnout rose by 17%. In fact, it's easier to vote in Georgia than it is in the president's home state of Delaware. The Democrats want every state's elections, like I said, to look like New York and California's, but I can tell you that's not Main Street Georgia.
No, and I'll tell you this also. I mean, you know, remember the objections. I mean, they moved the, was it the All-Star game? The Major League Baseball moved the All-Star game out of Atlanta to, I think it was going to go, it went to Colorado, which had a more restrictive voting issues. Georgia had more voting for absentee and bigger windows of opportunity. Meanwhile, by the way, the poetic justice in all of that is the Atlanta Braves are the World Series winners and the University of Georgia won the college football championship. But just to make the point, this idea that the politics of this, Congressman, are what's so outrageous here. What Georgia has done in its election law is no different than every other state, including states in the Northeast that are supposed to be the paragons of virtue of voting, are more restrictive than Georgia, including Delaware, as you said, President Biden's home state.
Well, listen, voter ID requirements have 75% of the American people, their support. Prohibiting government entities to mail unsolicited absentee ballot applications and regulating the use of absentee drop boxes and ballot harvesting is illegal in the state of Georgia. And, of course, their H.R. 1 and also the John Lewis law has nothing in it prohibiting ballot harvesting.
By the way, ballot harvesting is legal in California. State could decide they want to do it. There's no prohibition against it. It's not a very good voting practice. But, you know, you mentioned the ballot drop box. Our senior counsel, Andy Economos, here, who's in Atlanta, and has said many times on this broadcast, it's worth repeating, there were drop boxes all over the city of Atlanta with no security needs and no security around it, no one knowing who was putting things in there or not putting things in there. And requesting an ID is now you can't get into the Justice Department building without showing your ID. And this is before COVID. But you can vote in an election, Andy? I mean, this is what's so absurd about the politics of what's going on here.
Well, I agree with Congressman Allen exactly. You cannot get on an airplane. You cannot go into a hospital or a clinic facility. You cannot do the fundamental things that you ordinarily do getting into places without a register, without an ID. And if you don't have a driver's license, you can get a government-issued ID, but you can vote without it?
It's ridiculous, Andy. And Congressman Allen, you know, you have led, ran the leadership for us on this brief that we've filed and had 57 of your colleagues on it. But state control of elections is one of the hallmarks of federalism and in our constitutional setup, Congressman. And that is what President Biden is challenging here and the Justice Department.
Well, let me tell you this. The Senate's over there wasting a lot of time on trying to ram this federal takeover of elections down the American people's throat. Let me tell you something. You don't think the states are going to sue the federal government if they pass that law and the president signs it? And then it's going to go to Supreme Court. And then I think the Supreme Court is going to uphold the Constitution. So what they've done is they wasted all this time. They've beaten Joe Manchin and Chris, Sinema up. Yep. And have accomplished nothing. And we've got big problems in this country that need to be dealt with. And they're ignoring the problems and trying to ram this down our throats.
Yep.
Again, because they want every state to look like California and New York.
You know, Congressman, you had small businesses. You represent a lot of agriculture industry in your district. I know it well. And we were just talking about the problems of the Internal Revenue Service right now and them sending out this warning today to taxpayers saying try to file early because we're so far behind. But this federal bureaucracy out of control is impacting small business, and you represent a lot of small businesses.
Let me give you an example of that. Right now, our farmers can't export their products. These ports are so jammed that they're not taking time to load ships up to go back. They're going back empty.
It's
awful.
Yeah, and Professor Hutchinson, that problem of what the Congressman was just talking about has a ripple effect throughout the entire economy.
Absolutely. And so Congress continues to ignore real problems that affect real people throughout the United States. Why? Because Congress is basically, it has surrendered to ideology on steroids. And the move to have a federal takeover of elections in the United States is grounded in progressive ideology. And it really takes us back to the days of the 1930s when the Democrats basically advanced suppression on a major scale with respect to African-American workers.
Yep. Congressman, we appreciate your leadership on this and appreciate you taking time out of your schedule. And again, thank you for your efforts and go Dogs.
Great. I was proud to work with you, and y'all keep up the great work.
Thank you. Thank you, Congressman Allen. We appreciate it. All right, let's grab this last call, Logan. I want to help as many people as we can.
Let's go to Christine's calling in Oregon on line one.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to make a real quick comment about not being able to get through. I'm a controller for a company here, and you cannot, they regurgitate the same standard emails. You can't get a call. If you do, it says they got a high volume of call, and they never answer your question, but yet they will keep sending you penalty letters. It's the most frustrating thing to not get through and not have anyone solve. It's ridiculous.
This is why we're calling for comprehensive. Van, we got less than a minute. We have got to get comprehensive reform done on the tax code. I said the tax code's older than me.
And it's got to be a simplification, Jay. It just can't be leaving the power, leaving the clout, leaving the authority. It's got to be a simplification to get the IRS out of the lives of the American people. And I'll say this, Jay. In the meantime, maybe they ought to transfer some of those personnel who are targeting Americans over to the division where they actually process returns. That might be a good first step.
Yeah, no, that would be a really good, Wes, quickly here, 20 seconds. That's operational leadership, if you could figure that
out. Yes, absolutely. And we need leaders. This could happen if we had good leadership.
All right, folks, well, that does it for the broadcast today. But great way to be involved with the ACLJ is to go to all of our social media platforms and, of course, ACLJ.org.
That's right. Go to ACLJ.org for all the great content. We'll be back tomorrow with another live hour. But until then, there's a lot of good content coming up.
Yeah, including a song, from an original song by the Jay Sekulow Band. It talks about the IRS. Coming up right on your Facebook feed and social media feed, so stay tuned.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.